3D printing can help the Postal Service save a lot of money and time and gas and make money, too. 3D printers can make things like screws and containers using plastics and powders. Charlie Crum's a director at the Postal Service Office of Inspector General. His office is looking at how the Postal Service can leverage 3D technology, 3D printing technology, to help its bottom line. Charlie, thanks for being on the program this afternoon. What did you look at vis-a-vis 3D printing when you began your work on this report?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that our group is part of a very small component at the Office of the Inspector General that looks into new ideas and evaluates strategic opportunities for cost savings and operational and service improvements at the Postal Service. And as part of that work to promote efficiency and effectiveness of operations, we try to take a look at major technological trends that could impact the Postal Service. And we noted 3D printing is one such technology that could definitely have an impact on the Postal Service.
The report that you write, that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, says the Postal Service has the most to gain from 3D printing compared to other delivery firms. Why does the Postal Service have a leg up with 3D printing, do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true, and it's a huge point, because most 3D printed consumer goods are relatively small and lightweight. They're exactly the type of packages that the Postal Service has a strength in handling. Postal carriers are visiting every doorstop in America 6 days per week, so this makes it more cost-effective for them to deliver the kind of small, lightweight, low-value packages that encompass 3D printing, more so than for private delivery companies, because they're only stopping at the houses and businesses, you know, for which they have a delivery in that particular day. And those private delivery companies already use the Postal Service for many of their own lightweight packages right now. I think a lot of people don't realize that. And in fact, we found that about two-thirds of all lightweight packages are ultimately delivered to recipients by the Postal Service, either taken the whole way by the Postal Service or by having the pieces dropped off by other delivery carriers for final delivery by the Postal Service. So if 3D printing really takes off and there are many more lightweight packages being delivered, this will most directly affect the Postal Service.
So that's a result of what you refer to here, and I've talked about in this program before, as the first and last mile portion of the Postal Service's network. I got a package the other day that started out in the network of another service, and wound up it was delivered to my local post office, and my carrier dropped it off at my house. That's what you're referring to, is that right?
Absolutely, yes. That's very common.
Why does that give the Postal Service such an advantage? Just because of the potential volume of 3D printing items that will potentially be coming to people's homes?
Well, yes. The Postal Service touches every residence and a business 6 days a week. And the first mile, as you said, is picking these items up from senders while the last mile is delivering them to recipients. So the first and last mile that the Postal Service has the most expertise in is not only an opportunity to deliver letters and packages, but to pick them up as well. And since the postal vehicles and carriers are already making the trip, it's efficient for them to both pick up and provide delivery of these services. Now, as 3D printing evolves, items will likely be shipped, and this is already happening now, from 3D printing companies to consumers. But goods can also be made by individuals and very small businesses, even out of their garages, and they can ship them to other consumers. So the Postal Service is well positioned to help with that piece as well, because it's unlikely that the other delivery companies are going to come for very small items out of people's households.
Yeah, if I'm printing four or five things a month and selling them on Etsy or something like that, the likelihood I'm going to want to schlep all that stuff to a carrier or a store is not real likely. I'd rather just stick it in the mailbox.
And that's what we found. Yes.
The couple of things that you wrote about in here I thought were really interesting technologically. The concept of a 3D printing hub. How would the Postal Service be the kind of the host of that? What would that look like, do you think, Charlie?
Yeah. Well, we think the 3D printing companies looking for the best way to connect with their customers could locate their operations near postal facilities. In doing so, these companies could drop their products directly into the mail stream quickly and efficiently. As part of our research, one of my colleagues and I attended a 3D printing conference in New York to talk to people in the industry. And this notion of industrial 3D printing facilities located near shipping nodes, as they described it, they did not mention the Postal Service in particular, but they did mention shipping nodes. But that was something that was widely discussed. So we think this is an important thing to consider and to think about how the Postal Service could even potentially be more proactive than just encouraging these businesses to locate them near postal facilities.
Now, being a little bit of a postal service geek myself and having spent more time than a normal human probably should at the distribution center in Gaithersburg near where I live, I'm thinking of the big warehouse space that was just vacated there not too long ago that is exactly what you're talking about as the perfect type of location for something like this. I mean, it's literally next door.
Exactly. And I think there's we looked into some research. Another part of the OIG, another group, found that there were actually 60 million square feet of available space in postal facilities because of various downsizing and changes that are going on in the Postal Service. And one idea that we briefly discuss in the paper is the potential to rent these out to 3D printing companies such that they could locate, again, directly next to processing facilities. And the advantage of these type of warehouses, they already have the electrical facilities, the ventilation facilities that could be useful for this kind of, for these kind of industrial 3D printers, which are very different than the tiny 3D printers that some hobbyists and other people have in their houses that print small items.
Charlie, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying I think that's why the Postal Service could play a role there, but that's something we haven't explored in depth.
Charlie Crum's director at the Office of Inspector General at the U.S. Postal Service. What are the Postal Service, what should they be thinking about looking at now in order to be in a position to capture this market? You write, or are part of this market, you write the total 3D printing industry was valued at around $3 billion in 2013 and is expected to grow to $16 billion in 2018. So there's a not much of a time to ramp up to really leverage this, it sounds like.
Exactly. That basically, there's an expectation of a 40% annual growth in the 3D printing industry. But we think the first thing is really start with the basics. Keep a strong delivery network. No other organization touches as many places in America as frequently as the Postal Service. And this is critical because consumers need the Postal Service to get the things they buy quickly. And private delivery companies need the Postal Service because it can take on their lightweight packages for final delivery in a very cost-effective way. But to do these things, the postal package delivery network has to stay strong. After that, I think it's important for the Postal Service to embrace the concept and be aware of the changes in the 3D printing industry. For example, are people going to receive goods sent from companies made by industrial 3D printers, or could they make them themselves in their own house? And if they do that, they might need raw materials delivered to them.
That's a great point that was going to be my final question for you, Charlie, is are there potentially technological changes that we're not anticipating today? 5 years from now, it might be possible for me to go to Staples or Office Depot or something and buy a $200 3D printer and do a lot of this stuff myself at home. That may or may not impact the ability of the Postal Service to have all these packages to deliver.
Well, absolutely. And we talked to a lot of people. And, you know, when we looked at this, the phrase we use in the paper is that 3D printing is both a little overhyped and a little undervalued. So we do not necessarily foresee a model where most of the things you need in your house, you could make in your house with basically a family-sized 3D printer. We think 3D printers will become very common in households in the long run, but there's just too many complications to make all the things you need. If you want to think of the 2D model, when you make brochures, you're unlikely to use your home 3D, your home printer to do that. You're probably going to go around the corner to an industrial printer to do things that are a little more complicated. And we think that's a model of how 3D printing will unfold in the future.